What did you call him again?
Ah, Sook, said Anna. Oh, yes, said Mrs. Wells. Just think of it. An Oriental presence at this evening's seance. Is a seance an Oriental practice? Anna said doubtfully. Ah, Sook did not know the word, but he knew Oriental, and guessed that he was the subject of their discussion, and the cause, presumably, of Lydia's sudden look of greed. It was astonishing to him that she could have changed so little over the course of a decade, when Anna, over the course of a month, had altered so very much. Looking down at her hand, wrapped tight around his forearm, he was surprised to see a band of gold upon her finger. "Mrs. Carver," he said, and pointed to the ring. The woman smiled more broadly this time. "I fancy he has a touch of the prophet in him," she said to Anna. "How is that for a notion?"
"What do you mean, Mrs. Carver?" Anna said to Ah Sook.
She was frowning.
"Wife of Carver," said Ah Sook unhelpfully.
"He thinks you're Carver's wife," said Anna.
"He's only guessing," said Mrs. Wells. To Ah Sook she said,
"Not Mrs. Carver. My husband is dead. I'm a widow now."
"Not Mrs. Carver?"
"Mrs. Wells."
Ah Sook's eyes widened.
"Mrs. Wells," he repeated.
"It is very well his English is so limited," the widow said to Anna conversationally. "That way he will not get distracted. His composure will not falter. Oh, isn't he handsome? He will do us very well, I think."
"He knows Carver," Anna said.
"I'm sure he does," said Mrs. Wells, with a breezy tone. "Captain Carver has a great many Oriental connections. I expect they've done business with each other here in Hokitika. Come into the parlour. Ah, Sook." She gripped his arm tighter.
"Come along, just for a moment. Don't be a baby. I'm not going to hurt you. Come inside."
"Francis Carver, in Guangdong?" said Ah Sook.
"Or in Canton, yes, it's very likely," said Mrs. Wells, mistaking Ah Sook's question for a statement. "Captain Carver was based in Canton. He was based there for many years. Come along into the parlour." She shepherded Ah Sook into the parlour, pointing to the far corner of the room. "You will sit upon a cushion there," she said. "You will observe the faces around you and contribute a cool air of judgment to our mystical seance. We shall call you the Eastern Oracle, or the Living Statue of the Orient, or the Dynastic Spirit, or some such thing. Which do you prefer, Anna? The statue or the oracle?"
Anna did not have a preference. It was clear to her that Lydia Wells and Ah Sook recognized each other, and that their shared history had something to do with Francis Carver, and that the widow did not wish to speak of it aloud. She knew better than to press the point, however, and asked,
"What will be his purpose?"
"Merely to observe us."
"Yes, but to what end?"
The widow waved her hand.
"Didn't you see the spectacle at the Prince of Wales? Nothing sells tickets like an Oriental touch."
"He's not unknown in Hokitika, you know," Anna said. "He'll be recognized."
"As will you,"
Mrs. Wells pointed out.
"That won't matter a jot."
"I don't know," said Anna. "I'm not sure."
"Anna Wetherill," said Mrs. Wells, with pretended annoyance.
"Do you remember last Thursday, when I proposed hanging the sketch of the Bagatto at the top of the stairs, and you protested, claiming that the print would be shadowed by the attic landing, and then I hung it anyway, and the light was quite as perfect as I promised it would be?"
"Yes," Anna said.
"Well, there," said Mrs. Wells, and laughed.
Ah, Sook had not understood a word of this. He turned to Anna and frowned very slightly, to show her that she needed to explain.
"A seance," Anna said uselessly.
Ah Sook shook his head. He did not know the word.
"Let's try it," said Mrs. Wells. "Come, come to the corner. Anna, get the man a cushion to sit upon. Or would a stool be more ascetic? No, a cushion. Then he can fold his legs as the Eastern men do. Yes, come here, further, further. There."
She pushed Ah-Suk down upon the cushion and took several quick steps backwards to appraise him from the other side of the room. She nodded with delight.
"Yes," she said. "Do you see, Anna? Do you not think it fine? How solemn he is! I wonder if we might ask him to smoke a pipe of some kind, for the curling smoke around his head would be rather nice indeed. But smoke indoors makes me ill."
"He's not yet given his consent," Anna observed.
Mrs. Wells looked faintly irritated. She did not protest this observation, however, but advanced upon Ah-Suk, smiled, and peered down at him, her hands on her hips.
"Do you know Emery Staines?"
she said, enunciating clearly.
"Emery Staines, do you know him?"
Ah-Suk nodded. He knew Emery Staines.
"Well," the woman said, "we are going to bring him here tonight and speak with him. Emery Staines, here."
She pointed at the floorboards with a lemon-scented hand. A ray of understanding passed over Ah-Suk's face. Excellent! The prospector must have been found at last, and found alive. This was good news.
"Very good," he said.
"Tonight," said Mrs. Wells,
"here at the Wayfarer's Fortune, in this room.
The party will begin at 7, the seance at 10.
"Tonight,"
said Ah-Suk, staring at her.
"Precisely. You will be here. You will come. You will sit as you are sitting now, yes? Oh, Anna, does he understand? I can hardly tell. His face is such a perfect statue. You see what gave me the idea? The living statue."
Slowly, Anna explained to Ah-Suk that Lydia was requesting his presence that evening at a meeting with Emery Staines. She used the word seance several times. Ah-Suk, who had no reason to have ever learnt that word, deduced by context that it was a gathering or meeting of some scripted kind which Emery Staines had been invited to attend. He nodded to show that he understood. Anna then explained that Ah-Suk was invited to return that evening and take his place upon the cushion in the corner, exactly as he was sitting now. Other men had also been invited. They would sit in a circle, and Emery Staines would stand in the centre of the room.
"Does he understand it?" said Mrs. Wells. "Does he understand?"
"Yes," said Ah-Suk, and then to show her, "our seance with Emery Staines tonight."
"Excellent,"
said Mrs. Wells, smiling down at him in the same way that one might smile at a precocious child after the recitation of a sonnet, which is to say, with an admiration that was a little distressing.